Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. You can find his books at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is his weekly show, and he joins us from KXEL, where he produces the Iowa Politics Report. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm excellent, but you need to go get a gift card when you're getting the meal for tonight and then lunch for tomorrow.
And
fire
the gift,
up the gift card.
And get a gift card, and also never stop. They got a T-shirt. Pick one up. A lot of them sell T-shirts.
Well, now, when you say pick one up, you mean pay for one.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're
you mean purchase one. You're not.
No, it's not that kind of a. You know, we want to help them out there.
That's what I'm saying. I just want to be clear to everyone. Matt is not encouraging looting. He's saying pay for a T-shirt.
Exactly. Jeff, we have five buttes to get to today. let's start with what should be the end of Trump's campaign, the Atlantic story, calling veterans losers and suckers, saying that he didn't understand why the United States was the United States the good guy in World War One. He stated, he said he didn't like disabled troops in military parades because he didn't like the imagery of that. There is a feeling, and once again, I think there is almost a dare. Is he trying to alienate his base? Because once again, this is the same base where he says I could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and they'd applaud him. This is, you know, if I know more than a few very strong Trump supporters who, after this report came on out and Fox News validated the report, they said they're never going to vote for Trump again.
Now, this is from a trip 2 years ago, and it is just coming out now. There are some who say that's what makes it suspicious. No, that is very likely what is what makes it true. And I say that for this reason. If you knew these things because you heard them, you were working for the government, you heard these things, they were abhorrent to you, and you left the government. If you release it too soon, he has the chance to, in essence, dance around it, potentially. You may not want to ever release it at all. And so you just sit back until you see, and if it looks like he's going to go down in flames on election day, maybe you don't need to say something. But as things seem to tighten, because now you have the COVID going on, maybe these people decided, I cannot be silent any longer. One other thing that I'd mention, and this is the problem that Trump has times 500. Dan Rather tweeted something to the effect of, have no idea if the statements were made or not, but they sound believable. Now, Trump is using that to say, well, what do you mean? You don't know if they're truthful or not, so therefore, how can you believe them? Because it sounds like something he'd say. And that's the key on it. It sounds exactly like something he would say because he has already said things, particularly about John McCain in the past, that echo this, that sound really similar. So that's one of the things that makes this story so hard for him to dodge, Matt, is that even his supporters can imagine him saying it.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, his former press secretary, came out to defend him, and some people have brought up the very valid point. Well, wait a minute here. His administration's had some senior military officials in it. McMaster, Kelly, and Mattis have all been part of his administration, yet not a single one of them has stood up for him on this, which leads me to ask the question, are they the leakers? Because let's face it, if I'm – especially Kelly – and Mattis, I'll give both of them. And nothing against McMaster, but those two guys, they're hardcore military guys. If they had heard anything like that coming from his mouth, I'm surprised they didn't punch him in the grill, because that is kind of you don't disrespect the veterans and the troops like that. And so the question I have is, what do you think? I mean, the fact that so many people have been able to verify this, AP, CNN, Fox News have all verified the Atlantic report. The fact is, I'm wondering if the people that leaked it were the military people themselves.
Two things to look at. One, when did he say these things? November of 2018. When are the conversations alleged to have been had? And when did those people leave? So instead of punching him in the grill, was it the last straw for a number of them? I think you need to connect some of those dots. The second thing I would say, now this, let me finish the statement because I know what you're going to say, but I will push back a little bit on certain news agencies confirming it because you might have an echo chamber of the same anonymous sources. But put that aside for a second. Your point is such a smart one. There have been people who have come out and denied that it ever happened. John Bolton, no friend of the president, said, "I didn't hear any such thing." Okay, notice, I didn't hear it. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. It means he did not hear it. Sarah Sanders has, wait for it, a book that just came out. If she trashes the president, then the book is worthless. That's not going to happen. And she says she didn't hear it. Okay. Before you and I went on the air, I can't hear you. I don't know what you said. So I can't confirm that you said it, but that doesn't mean you didn't say it. The fact that there are, and this is where your point is so valid, look at the people who have come out and said, "I didn't hear it." Okay, that's fair. But look at the people who haven't said diddly squat. And that is the key. They don't want to be subjected to the vitriol that would come from Trump, but you can start narrowing it down to figure out who has not commented on one of the important issues of the campaign or one of the important stories that has come out since the general election really became a joined race.
General Kelly was basically going to become General Facepalm at this point. I think he left. Didn't he leave fairly soon after that? The World War II, World War I thing was, you're right, it was November of 2018, and right. Kelly left, what, 2 months later?
That's what I'm saying to you. Yeah. And now again, someone like Trump, it's so easy to believe him saying, "Why do I have to go to two cemeteries? Isn't one enough to make the point?" Well, sure, if all you're trying to do is make a point, if you're actually trying to honor the blessed souls who gave their life for the country, then yeah, you go to two cemeteries. And if there's a third, you look for a way to go to that one.
Yep.
So again, it's a matter of Trump has created a persona for himself, Matt, that even if every single thing in that Atlantic story is false, it rings as probable or at least possible because of the persona he created. And it's hard to get away from that image, isn't it? Because people are saying, "Well, it hasn't been proven, but, well, you know, it sounds like him."
Well, now let's jam the other foot down his mouth. The story breaking today, Trump knew early in February the coronavirus posed a unique and deadly threat to the United States and was more deadly than even the most strenuous flus. At the time, Trump repeatedly publicly downplayed the virus as no more dangerous than the flu. The revelation is one of many in journalist Bob Woodward's forthcoming book, Rage, for which Trump granted Woodward a series of interviews, and there are tapes of it. Is he trying to sabotage his campaign at this point? I mean, I'm dead serious. Trying to sabotage it? Because, I mean, I just don't know how he thought admitting that to Bob Woodward was going to somehow end up being a positive.
Well, and again, keep in mind, the timing of the Woodward book, it has nothing to do with Trump, although if you're somebody who is so supposedly media savvy, you'd know darn well when the Bob Woodward book was going to drop, just simply because you know when your own dropped. The Atlantic story, that timing is totally up to the Atlantic. It's not anything Trump did. If he did it, he did it 22 months ago. But I noticed this from a conservative commentator who posted this on the Twitter machine. And essentially what he said was, in what universe did anyone think that Trump talking to Bob Woodward would come out to be a good thing? Witness George W. Bush sitting down to talk. See, here's what I think it is. And Trump is so much more of this than W. But Trump believes that he can master any situation. So it's like, well, I don't want to not grant Bob Woodward an interview. I'm smarter. I'm a stable genius. I'm smarter than he is. I can explain everything. And it's much better for me to be quoted than to not be quoted. And so I can handle the situation. And it's only after the fact that when all the other pieces are put together, it's like, oh, this doesn't look good. Now, I will say that. Yeah, that's the exact phrase.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's that turned.
Who could have seen this coming? Yeah, with the pandemic, there is a fine line to walk, and I always encourage government officials to be straight and honest and forthright with the constituents they serve. I don't care if it's a city council or the United States of America. I do understand the concept of being a little bit moderate or temperate in your public statements so as not to cause a panic. I understand that philosophically. I'm not saying that's what he was doing, but I'm saying that, you know, I understand it philosophically, but it just looks so stark when here's the tape from this period of time. Here are the things you've said since. Here are the things you've said within the past 3 days that are contradictory. That leads you to not be surprised that polls indicate that Joe Biden would do a better job with COVID-19 than Donald Trump.
Well, let's go down the other path. It's like the cemeteries. Visit the cemeteries. You're the president. That's what you do. You know, okay, the serious disease happens. You can see it's a problem over there. Hey, everyone, this is a serious. We need to take this seriously. Wear a mask, wash hands, boom, 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 boom. That's all no one's expecting you to, you know, break out a MASH unit like your Alan Alda or something like that and start trying to treat patients. You just have to lead by taking it seriously and saying we're doing our due diligence. That's all you really have to do. Here are the people that are in charge. Here's the CDC. We're talking to these people. And he just can't do it. And, you know, yet once again has had another, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how. I don't think this is going to deviate too many of his followers. I think the veterans issue, the veterans comments will. This, I don't think, won't do anything. I think it will just give more resolve to the other side. That's for sure.
A MASH unit in Alden Alda broke out. That's very nice. It's in that new Rose Garden. You might not have noticed, but that's where the MASH unit is. Well, you're right. His supporters are going to say it's a Woodward hit job. Okay, fine. But the veterans thing, if it sticks, and I don't know yet. I mean, yes, I have heard stories, too, of veterans that took their Trump signs out of the yard, walked them to the garbage can and threw them away. I mean, yes, I do. There is that. If the individual believes it, then yes, it will make a difference. If the individual says it's another hit job, okay, well, then they're not going to believe it. So, but this, of the two issues, yes, the veterans one does have a lot more weight. Remember back, and there was some hope here. Remember back when the story was that there was a meeting in the Oval Office. The COVID thing had just started. We'd been having these briefings for a couple of weeks, maybe. And it was nothing to see here. And then Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci took charts and graphs and spreadsheets and whatever, went into the Oval Office and said, if you don't flatten the curve with a 2-week-long, 15-day-long mask policy, this is what we're going to have in terms of hospitalizations, positive cases, and death. And supposedly the president, everyone agreed, said, oh, well, then I guess we have no alternative. And people, even who were his opponents, said that that was a show of Trump being responsible, of listening to the evidence, of listening to the science, and moving forward. And that is what happened, right? They showed up and said, hey, look, 15 days. Well, but then we get close to an election with a bad economy, and now it's a very different thing.
It ended up being only really about a week before he started bad-mouthing his own decisions. And,
I through the 15 days. No,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
It was that moment, right? Because we talked about it where it was like, well, you know, okay, that's a good show.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't last.
Yeah. All right. We got more to get to here. And when we do, let's take a break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. More cronyism within the administration, but also some real questionable spending by the Trump campaign. Jeff Stein joining us right now. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us, talking as usual politics with us. Jeff, I want to bring up the spending within the Trump campaign, because it's not only the fact, of course, a guy like this is going to take, he's spending money on his own legal fees, money's being routed to buddies, that sort of thing. But there are two stories which I saw that really make me kind of question, once again, is Trump trying to lose this? One is the fact that his campaign has been kind of furious with him. They're not spending money in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, states they possibly could win. Instead, they're buying national ad buys or buying Washington, D.C. so Trump can see them. And that's an incredible waste of money. The other side of it is, and it's interesting watching the social media stuff, YouTube is not a very good social media for campaigns because you can't upload lists and stuff like that. I don't know the technical terms, but most of the people say, you know, you stay away from that. You can go to Twitter, you go to Facebook, Instagram, stuff like that. Needless to say, the Trump campaign just announced, oh, we're spending a ton of money on YouTube, which the people that know politics in social media said, that's a massive waste of money. You know, there just seems to be an incredible a series of bad decisions on this, which once again, veterans comment, you know, now he's admitting things to Woodward. Now you got the spending. I mean, is he trying to lose this race?
Well, notice you had to change campaign managers. Pascal was spending money on this weird stuff, and he's now Mr. Digital Strategy, which he was before and now is again. So the fact that they have blown through $1 billion, I mean, this is a cash-poor campaign right now. How in the world? Because I think it's not just the poor spending you mentioned. I think they had some pretty nice lunches. You know, I mean, it appears that there was a sense of it's daddy's credit card and I can spend it up however I want. He's talking about loaning his campaign millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
There was no reason for that when you looked at the numbers. So it's been spent somewhere and it's not all media. But here's the question. They keep saying Minnesota's in play. Sure, not what I heard at the end of the segment before the bottom of the hour. Are they just, you know, whistling in the dark on this?
They're not. I mean, they might have a chance if they have to take every rural vote they can. The veterans comment doesn't help. But right. The reality is they're not spending money out there. And here's the interesting thing, too, and you know the impact of this. I've been out in rural Minnesota in the last week twice. I've been out in rural Minnesota. I saw more for sale signs than I saw Trump signs. And that is something that is going to come back. If he doesn't get out there and try to put some sort of campaign together, he's going to get blown out in this state.
And that's where it's interesting, where you say, you know, he wants to compete in New York. He wants to compete in Minnesota. He wants to compete in these, you know, and then we got to put the ads on in Washington, D.C. to make the boss happy. Well, some of those buys you can make, there's nothing wrong with that. And obviously, you know, he can get as much time on Sean Hannity's show as he wants. He's going to be on with the president again tonight, probably with that really lovely phone graphic, because I don't think it's a in-person interview. So you don't really need all of that national spending. You really need to laser focus. And I wonder if the issue is he's not laser focusing on certain states because the candidates down ballot don't want that next to their spots. In other words, Mr. President, you want to spend money on Fox News and Fox Business? Knock yourself out. That's great. That'll reinforce the base. But I don't want your spot next to my spot during the local 6 o'clock news because people might therefore make the connection between us. And that's pretty telling. Also telling is the fact he's doing these rallies again. But we've talked about this before, you and I. At what point does some candidate in Minnesota, for example, say, Mr. President, I know you want to do a rally, but I'm going to be busy that day if it's okay with you?
Yeah.
Because they don't want to be. I mean, that's going to be a factor, isn't it? You might have a conflict between getting 270 electoral votes and being washed out of the House and the Senate both.
Two other quick points here. First of all, whistleblower complaint coming to light against Wolf and the Department of Homeland Security that his intelligence reports were being watered down in regards to Russian intelligence and white supremacists because Trump didn't want to hear this bad news and he was getting demoted. The other story, the Bill Barr story, him inserting the Department of Justice into the Carroll lawsuit under the argument that because he talked about the Carroll in derogatory terms while president, everything that happened prior to him being president now are looped in with that, and henceforth, taxpayers need to spend the money to defend him in court for his liability. That is, I don't think that's even going to fly in a judge's. I think they're going to, you know, deny the Department of Justice movement on this. What do you think?
Well, when you sue someone like the governor of a state, it says sued in his or her official capacity because it is about something done on the job, related to the job. Not related to things that come out of your pie hole that can subject you to civil liability. And that's, to me, a very distinct difference. If a governor or a president engages in some action that's tied to the actual workings of the office, not just that they happen. Okay, so they deliver a pizza to the White House, and Trump doesn't like that they put on extra anchovies, and he punches the pizza guy. Is that part of the scope of his duties? He was at the White House.
Barr will argue it was, and that's the crazy part.
Yes, that's the point.
That's the crazy part. Barr will come on out, and he said, well, yeah, I don't agree with it, but it was within his gauge of spectrum. Well, we'll spotlight this Iowa politics report coming up a little bit later. Jeff Stein joins us on Wednesdays. We are back on tomorrow. Until then, see ya.